Okay, Kenzie's going to be coming around and giving everybody a raffle ticket because, ironically, Pastor Jared was talking about getting selected for the jury. And, like, I was going to say the same thing. I never get selected for anything. And it is like so the desire of my heart to be on a jury. And you have no idea how jealous I am of Pastor Jared today. That just sounded like way too much fun, right? Yeah, like holding somebody's fate in your hands, that's good stuff. Is there any way I could get the house lights on? Somebody, J-Rob's gonna do that for me. Okay, so here's the deal. You are getting a raffle ticket because we need to have some winners tonight, and I have a few things to give away. Some of them are very good. Some of them are Big Macs, right? That's good. Pastor Jared and Brittany want it, but they can't have it because they're on a Daniel fast, so they don't get that. But other people might. I also have, I don't know, I've played the lottery one time in my entire life, and it was on my 18th birthday because I wanted to do something outrageous, and I thought, what is more rebel-like than buying a lottery ticket? I know you're all like, you are a ginormous nerd. It's true. I wear glasses. I studied Greek in college. I am. I admit it. Nerd. Like, I love to read books that you probably can't even pronounce the names of the titles. But so I did that. And did I win the lottery? No, I did not. But hey, you know what I figured? We're in the house of God. God just might let one of you who is over the age of 18 win the lottery. And so, J-Rom, you know what? Here's a Powerball ticket. And if you're a lucky winner, Pastor Jared already said you're giving it all to Generation Church, okay? Okay. Right? Okay. So, like I was saying, I've never really won anything that requires a ticket, you know, shopping spree, go online, fill out the survey. I always do. Has anybody in this room ever won something because you filled out a survey? Anybody? No, nobody. Oh, Mason has. Oh, and you have back. I want to be friends with you guys, right? But I never have. The only things I've ever won are things like basketball games because I worked really, really, really hard to win, right? You know, so I haven't heard a ton of times in my life, congratulations. I heard congratulations, obviously, the day you get married. Just a little food for thought here. You're going to get to hear the word congrats a ton. I'm sure Chris and Whitney can tell you. They probably have a box full of cards that say that one word. Congrats, congrats, congratulations. We're so happy for you, right? You know, you get pregnant when I got pregnant with Hudson when I had Hudson. Congrats, congratulations. La la la. Everyone loves you for about a month. Yeah, you heard him. He's telling me for about a month and then they forget about it, right? So there are those moments in life where you hear congratulations. But how many of you would love to be that person? You're at the door of your house. They come with the big check, the balloons. Congratulations, you won $1 million. Right? That would be awesome. Are you guys, I mean, really, who am I talking to right now? How many people would not die of happiness if you won $1 million? Okay, there are a few of you who are being honest with me right now. And for those of you who aren't being honest, we're talking, you could go to college for free, no debt. You could buy a house for free, no debt. That is good stuff. That's good stuff. But here's the thing. God has a congratulations for each one of us. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the Beatitudes. So I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 5. And I'm just going to tell you guys, you are going to get something really good out of tonight if you listen. You are. You're going to walk away a different person if you listen. Okay? So here's the thing. Beatitudes. This starts Jesus's Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount is by far, hands down, no exception, the most famous sermon ever given. Like, nobody can compete with the Sermon on the Mount. This is it. Matthew 5 through 7, Jesus is going to give a really long sermon. He's sitting on top of a mountain. People are coming. They're listening to him. And what he's doing is he's completely turning upside down an entire order of how people thought. See, in the Old Testament, everything's built on don't do this, do this. Don't do this. Don't do that. Hey, by the way, don't do this. And it's this long list of all the things you're not supposed to do. And Jesus comes in the Sermon on the Mount and he's like, hey, you know all those books written about what you can't do? Scratch it. I don't really care about your actions. I care about your heart. And if you let me take your heart, and if you let me transform your heart and get out your heart, guess what? Your actions are going to follow. And guys, what he was doing, it was revolutionary, because he's talking to people like you and I who had grown up their whole lives doing everything right so they could get accepted by God. And he's telling them, hey, doing everything right doesn't make you connected to me. Doing everything right doesn't even necessarily guarantee someday you're going to spend eternity with me. He's like, what matters is a heart that longs to know me. And if you have that kind of heart, guess what? You're going to know God. And the thing is about this sermon, it's just as true today as it was when Jesus preached this over 2,000 years ago. It's just as true. God tonight, Jesus tonight, he wants to get at your hearts. He doesn't care, honestly. He doesn't care what your and my behavior looks like. That's just a symptom. What he cares about is hearts longing for a relationship with God that's more important than their boyfriend or their girlfriend, more important than the house they live in, the car they drive, where they go to school. A relationship with Christ, that is everything. And guys, I can promise you this. The older I get, the more I realize this. Nothing in life will satisfy you or bring you happiness apart from Christ. Nothing. You can go and you can look for it and you can think even in that moment, this is really, really satisfying. But you're going to wake up one morning and you're going to realize you're not happy. You're not fulfilled. You're not content. You're not satisfied because Christ isn't the center. Christ isn't the focus of your life. And that's what the Beatitudes are all about. It's getting back to what's important. It's getting back to the main thing. And the main thing is you and I knowing and loving Jesus. You and I completely dependent on him for everything. So we're going to start out in verse 3. And it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, like Sierra was praying, right? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. And there's two different ways of counting these Beatitudes. Historically, the theory is there are 8 Beatitudes, but some people view verse 11 as the 9th Beatitude. Doesn't really matter to me. These are all important things, right? So you can say 8 or 9, just a little historical background for those of you who are sticklers for such things. But this word blessed, it's kind of a churchy word, right? What would you think if we just all walked up to each other and like, what's up, Sierra? Blessed. You are blessed. Like, people would think that's kind of weird. What does that word even mean? And so I want to give you guys, kind of put it into modern day vernacular. One way of translating it is to say happy. Happy are you if you're poor in spirit. That's okay. You know, I'll take that. How about this? Lucky. Lucky are you. That'd been kind of weird if they put that in the Bible, right? Jesus is teaching the Sermon on the Mount. He's like, Tyler, lucky are you when you're poor in spirit. People are like, Christians don't use that word, right? So they settled on blessed, but I don't like it. I know it's the Bible, but I don't like it. I don't think it really gives us the force of what Christ is saying. And so there is another way to translate this word blessed, and it's congratulations. Congratulations to you if you're poor in spirit, because yours is the kingdom of heaven. You win. Congratulations. If you live out these Beatitudes, if you let God, if you let Jesus work these inside of you, congratulations, because guess what? You're going to have an awesome life. I like that word. I like that word, congratulations. Guys, we're winners. sinners listening to that song, Our God, that whole bridge part. If our God is for us, who can be against us? If our God is for us, what can stand against us? I don't know about you guys, but life sometimes totally stinks. And I feel like everything is trying to come and knock me down and mess with my emotions and make me feel this small. And guess what? When God is inside of me, I don't have to feel this small because God is great. And God inside of me and God inside of you makes us great. And it's not some cheesy self-help thing. It isn't. It's Jesus Christ living in his people, living in his children, doing amazing things in the world. That's what it's about. Congratulations. You're more than a winner. You're more than a conqueror. You can do anything that God puts in your heart to do because he put it in your heart. And he's creator of everything. He holds everything in his hands. And if he's the creator and if he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and he's decided that you are going to do something amazing with your life, it's going to happen. Congratulations. You're a winner. And Pastor Jared said that I could pick which three I wanted to do. And so I picked the best three. So sorry, Pastor Jared, you may not have as much fun. But before we do that, I think we need to say congratulations just for fun. Okay, so let's see, where are my, Kens, can you draw a number?
Okay. 595302.
Oh, is that you, April? Wow! Okay, ready everybody together? Congratulations. That was weak sauce. Oh my goodness. On the count of three. One, two, three. You're a winner, and I have a little $5 Jamba Juice gift card for you, and Jamba Juice rocks. I wish that I was the winner of Jamba Juice. Okay, so we're gonna keep going. We're gonna say congratulations a few more times, but here we go. Verse number 6. This is my favorite beatitude because it's so visual, and I can totally relate to this, and I think all the guys in this room will also totally agree. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Has anybody in this room ever been hungry or thirsty? Really? Are you kidding me? Some of you, we're not feeding you for 3 days and then you'll experience this, right? But you know what I mean? When you are just hungry and your stomach is rumbling and it's actually painful. Like when I was pregnant with Hudson, I had horrible morning sickness, right? And so like I was that person who lived in the bathroom and everything I ate and didn't eat came up. You know what I'm saying? It was awesome in the weight gain category, not awesome by how I felt. But the thing was, I was so sick that I couldn't eat anything, but I would be like, not to be vulgar, but I would be puking, but my stomach would be totally rumbling because I was seriously hungry. And I was like, it was the worst feeling ever. I hate to be hungry. I hate it. I hate to be thirsty. You know, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're still really tired, but you're so thirsty and your mouth and your tongue and everything's dry, but you're too lazy to get out of bed. And so because you're not married, but because I am married, you'll be like, oh, baby, I'm so thirsty. And then maybe he'll hook me up, but then sometimes he'll be like, what? You know what I mean? You're so thirsty. You need that water and you go and you get the water and you drink the whole glass of water. And then that's not enough and you have to have more. You've gone for a really long run and you are so thirsty, right? And you're just drinking the water. Oh, or then you come to GC and you smell the nachos and you see that gross, disgusting artificial cheese, but somehow it makes you hungry. We all know what I'm talking about. We get hunger. We get thirst. We get that yearning in our stomach for something to be in our stomach. Guys, God wants us to be hungry for his righteousness. And the thing is, I'm not talking about the kind of righteousness where it's like, man, look at J-Rob. He's really got it together. He drums in the GC band. Oh my goodness, he's an intern. He lines up the chairs. He is so righteous. And J-Rob is the man, and he is a righteous man of God. And I'm not trying to diss that. But that's not the kind of righteousness I'm talking about. That's not what we're supposed to be yearning for. Guys, what we're supposed to be yearning for is the righteousness that's only found in Christ. We have to long for the manifestation of the King of Glory. We have to long for Jesus himself to come with his salvation to our lives and appear and save us from things that we can't save ourselves from. That's what I'm talking about. There has to be a hunger for him. And you know what I know? I know you guys are, you're partway there if you're not already there. You're here. You're here on Wednesday night. Some of you, you go to home group. But there needs to be a yearning, guys. Man, you had the opportunity to pray whatever is on your heart tonight in a place that was safe, in a place nobody's going to make fun of you. And you know what kind of bummed me out? Only leaders prayed. That bummed me out. I don't know if it bummed you out, but it bummed me out because I'm like, man, aren't they hungry? Aren't they hungry for God's righteousness in their lives in a way that they can't make it happen? Guys, hunger for God. Yearn for God. Thirst for God. And I know I'm using a metaphor, but get really hungry for God. Get really hungry for him to reveal himself in your life in ways that you can't even comprehend. Be really hungry. I think just talking about hungry is making me hungry. Is it making you hungry? Yeah, I think that these two Big Macs need to be in somebody's belly. Okay, I need to draw two more numbers here. I'm hungry. Okay, who's first, Kens?
595279.
Oh, nice. I've never met you before. What's your name? Cameron? Here you go. Yeah. If you're a vegetarian or something, I'm sure your buddy next to you he'd be okay with eating the Big Mac too, right? Anybody else? Who do we, else do we have?
595286.
Oh, nice! God must love the boys tonight. Or maybe he's secretly loving us girls by not letting us eat a Big Mac. Who knows? Who knows? Okay, here we go. I have one more thing to give away, so don't worry. You still might be a winner, but we forgot to say the magic word. Okay, ready? No, I don't like weak sauce saying this, okay? On the count of three. One, two, three.
Congratulations!
You're a winner! Okay, here we go. Moving on. Verse number 7. We're going right in order with the three I like. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Congratulations to the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And I really, one of the commentaries I was reading said this, and I really like this. Mercy is less an attitude and more an activity. See, we think we're merciful if we just have this attitude of mercy. Oh, you know, J-Rob's telling me about his day and Pastor Jared's worked him really hard. He had to scrub a room and then he got to play video games and then Pastor Jared took him to lunch and it was a rough day, guys. I am telling you what, rough day. So J-Rob's telling me about his rough day and I'm picking on J-Rob, but J-Rob knows I love J-Rob, right? You know that. And he's telling me about his rough day and I'm like, oh, J-Rob, you are so right. Pastor Jared is so mean. Oh, and we think that's mercy. That's not mercy. I don't know what that is, but if you do that, it is from the pit of hell, FYI. That's not mercy. You know what? Mercy is showing people forgiveness. Mercy, this is mercy. J-Rob comes to me and J-Rob's like, Jerusha, I blew it. You asked me to do this for Hope Kids, and I didn't do it. And I need to ask your forgiveness. And the thing is, the thing J-Rob didn't do actually made me look bad. And I'm not super stoked on the fact that he didn't do it. I have that quick second where I have to say, okay, God, give me your mercy. And then I forgive J-Rob. But guys, here's the caveat. I don't just get to forgive J-Rob and think about it later about how irritated I am with J-Rob. Or I can't think when I go to give J-Rob another assignment. You know what? J-Rob might not do it. So I don't know if I want to give it to him. No, mercy is saying, J-Rob, I forgive you. And at that moment, I let it go. That's mercy. Mercy is having compassion on people who don't deserve your compassion, right? It's having compassion on your friends who, it's the friend who continually just says really mean things about you behind your back. They're the friend who you feel like you can't trust them, but you're going to have compassion on them anyways. You're going to love them. You're going to continue to be their friend, even though they actually don't deserve it. Mercy is an action, you guys. It's not an attitude. And I want to call all of us, let's become people who are merciful. Let's forgive people when they don't deserve our forgiveness. Let's have compassion on people who don't have our compassion. And I'm not talking about you're watching the infomercial, right, that Pastor Jared was talking about, and you see the children in Africa who are starving, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to give money. That's awesome, and you should do that because they deserve it. But I'm talking having compassion on the people who annoy you, having compassion on your mom and dad when they've had a really long day at work providing for you to have awesome jeans and to go to McDonald's and to do things you don't deserve to do. And they're a little testy with you, right? You all know what I'm talking about. And instead of being merciful, what do? You're definitely not merciful. Those are the kind of situations God is calling you and I to be merciful in. Okay, now the last one, and this is the one that Sierra led us in prayer, and this is my favorite beatitude because, in my opinion, it is the very hardest to actually do. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Congratulations, if you are pure in heart, you will see God. And we're going to, before we get into this one, because this one's a little bit more serious, I want to do our final drawing, and I have a $25 iTunes card here. This is good stuff, huh? Don't you love coming to church and getting stuff? It's awesome!
Okay. 595281.
Whoa, yeah! Annie won! Annie, I swear you win everything at GC. This girl, I want to be her friend. She probably is the girl who picks the lottery ticket numbers and wins. That's fantastic. What do we say? 1, 2, 3.
Congratulations!
You know what? I love Bo best right now. How much fun is he? He really gets into it. Bo, you're awesome. Yeah, you are there, and I love you. You're awesome. Okay, so here we go. Congratulations to those who are pure in heart. They are going to see God. And you know what I hate about the word pure? It's always that word, right, that Christians use in another word called purity. And then we start talking about sex and everyone's ears close because they're like, what? I don't want to talk about purity, pure, whatever. Guys, pure of heart has nothing to do with sex. Nothing. Nothing at all. You know what it has to do with? This whole word, the idea involved in it is a heart that's unalloyed, right? So think of gold. Gold is right now an incredibly valuable commodity, okay? And there's like 10 karat gold, and there's 12 karat gold, and there's 14 karat gold, and there's 24 karat gold. J-Rob was telling me the other day that some people get pure gold teeth. And then some people beat up those people and take their teeth out. And I was like, what are we talking about right now? That is crazy. I think he grew up in Compton or something. So I was like, that's crazy stuff. But here's the thing about gold. Gold is always mixed with other metals. And the degree of other metals that are in the gold is going to define what carat it is. And you want the kind of gold that has the least amount of other metals. And I think you can find some that's like 99.95% gold, right? It's like 0.5 0.004% non-gold. What God wants is he wants your heart completely his. He doesn't want any other metals in your heart. And the thing is, when there's other metals, when there's other things, when there's mixture in your affection for God, you're not fully his. And he can't do the things in your life that he wants to do. And guys, I want to call to you tonight. There's something inside of me. I pray for Hudson every night, and I'm going to read the verse that I pray over Hudson every night. But I pray for Hudson every single night that his heart would be undivided in his love for Christ. I pray that, because you know what I know? If you're undivided in your love for Christ, things are going to come at you, and there's going to be times where you struggle, but you're always going to hit the mark God has for you. You're always going to fulfill what he has for you, because you're moving towards him and you're going towards him. Guys, when Jesus is preaching this message, he's talking to a lot of people who were Pharisees and hypocrites, who thought that they could get away with loving God as long as they came to church and they gave their tithe and they went to home group. That was enough. But their hearts were so far away from God. Their hearts weren't longing to follow God, weren't longing to know God. And there was mixture in there, and they were had divided hearts. And Jesus is preaching to these people, and he's saying, lose the mixture. Set your affections, set your hearts on me completely. Guys, you know why there's divorce in America? There's divorce because people get married and there's mixture in their heart. God is looking for men and women. He's looking for young men and women like you guys who are going to say, enough. I want to live for God with everything inside of me. I don't want any mixture. I want to go for him and him alone. Right now, I'm reading a book about a Serbian monk, like crazy guy, right? Like he has the long grizzled hair. He was a Greek Orthodox monk. This book is like revolutionizing my life, because this guy from a young age, he had a horrible life. His mom died when he was a young boy. Then his dad died later on, but his dad remarried 2-3 times, and he literally had wicked stepmothers, like we're talking Cinderella style. And he was always really sick. They told him when he was like 20 that he had 5 years to live. 5 years to live. He's 20. And you know what he decided? He's like, I want to live for God and nothing else. I don't care what befalls me. I don't care if I die. I want to live for nothing else. And this book is his teachings, actually, because he ended up becoming this really famous monk. His name is Thaddeus, right? Like, who wouldn't trust something that Thaddeus said, right? Elder Thaddeus. And he's talking about how even destructive thoughts that we think can totally destroy our peace. A simple thing is a thought. And you know what I was thinking today as I was getting ready? I was thinking, man, a divided heart can ruin your life. This girl Pastor Jared was talking about, divided heart. Man, with an upbringing like that, with a full ride scholarship, what could have God done with her life? Anything. But her heart was divided. I'm calling you to you. Look at your heart. I don't care if you think you're a really good Christian. Look at your heart and say, God, is there mixture? Is there affection in my heart for things other than you? People other than you? A desire other than you? Husband, wife, child, this college, that career, that sport, this girlfriend, that boyfriend, this video game. Hey, it can be a video game. It can be a TV show. Right now, I'm fasting media for this thing that the church is doing. Man, I didn't know I liked watching TV so much. I only watch TV at night after Hudson goes to bed, you know, a few times a week. And I'm like, I kind of miss it. I don't want any mixture in my life. I want a heart that's set on God and God's will and God above anything. I want to go to sleep at night in peace, and I want to wake up in peace. I want to be at war with no one. I want to be at odds with no one. I want to be an awesome mom to Hudson. I want to be an awesome wife to Ben. I want to be an awesome employee. And guys, it happens when we get rid of the mixture and we let our hearts be pure and sold out to God and God's will. In closing, I'd love for the band to go up, and they're gonna sing a song, and then Pastor Jared's gonna do a response time. But guys, I really want to call you. I know some of you are actually getting prayed for during the February 18th through 22nd, but God is looking for people who want to be radical. And this whole Sermon on the Mount, it's a radical message. Jesus is radical. His message is radical. And if you embrace it, he's going to have you do things that to other people are going to look crazy. They're going to look weird, and they're going to change the course of history. I really believe that. I believe that when I live radically, when I raise my son to be different, I believe I change the world.